Welcome back, everybody, to Dress Down. Today, I have a very exciting guest for you, someone that I've known almost half of my life, which is crazy. We have actor both on screen and behind the microphone, and the newest Genshin Impact character, Midia, Brian Valance.
That is way too many things you just said.
Half your life.
Thank you for being here. I think so.
Yeah, I think so
too. Because it's been like 15 years and that's pretty much half my life.
Back when you went by a different name even.
We don't talk about that. We don't bring that up. Oh my God, I can't believe this. We're fighting already.
Out the gate. I have to establish your dominance right away.
You know what?
You know?
I appreciate that and I respect it.
Good. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for.
Good. So you've also, I mean, I have a ton of your accomplishments here right off the bat. Okay. You won Best Actor for your on-screen role in Blisters at the One Reeler International Short Film Festival.
I did.
You have 200 episodes on your podcast called The Interesting Podcast. Mm-hmm. You have many, and I'm saying all of this because I know you hate compliments and talking about yourself. So this is me getting revenge.
Yeah, so fair. I deserve this. The uncomfortableness, not the accolades.
Right.
Yes, those are true things that you just said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True things and exciting things.
Yeah.
Well, let's take it back to Florida.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Sure.
When we both were little cosplayers at SuperCon in Miami.
Yep.
And you were cosplaying. You cosplayed a lot of Star Wars, and what I remember the most, which I think is like your iconic cosplay, which is the Cabbage Merchant.
Yes.
From Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a wild experience.
Yeah.
It's a different lifetime ago.
Yeah.
Because I, you know what's really funny? So I didn't grow up with Avatar, but my wife did.
Ah.
And so she introduced me to it.
Really?
And I'm obsessive. So I just watched it like a few months prior. And I was like, whoa.
No
and
way.
I was in the 501st for a lot of years, and I was in the Rebel Legion as well. So I was already doing like Star Wars costuming for like charity events and troops and stuff like that. But I hadn't done like cosplay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this Cabbage guy shows up and I'm like, I love me a bit.
I know, it's
and
so good.
I did it. And I remember my wife talking to me because I went to Animate Miami first, which turns out to be the perfect convention for anything anime related.
Right.
Did not know that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my wife talking to me and being like, if nobody knows who you are, you still look great. And I was like, okay, thank you. It's like a mom sending her son off to school. You know?
Did she go
like,
with you or no, you went by yourself?
No, she sent me into the world.
Mm.
And I didn't move for like 8 hours.
No.
It was absurd.
It's a beloved character from a beloved franchise.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
And it turned into a thing where I'm like, I end up in rooms I should not have been in. Like there are professional cosplayers that were on that, what was that show called?
Oh.
With Yaya Han.
Heroes of Cosplay?
Yes. So I remember I was like, yeah, these are cosplayers. I'm just some guy carrying cabbages and screaming in public. And just went off to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, like we're meeting and then I'm a guest at conventions, which is absurd.
Hell yeah, brother.
And it's just, it's wild to think about.
Yeah.
Because that was a long time ago.
I know. It really was. And you haven't cosplayed much since,
no,
right?
it's been a lot of years. Because I used that to turn into the acting career.
Right.
And it took off and then I lost all of my time. And
hell
then I had
yeah,
to focus
it
on it.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I did. I'm Brian's biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
For those of you who haven't seen some of the other episodes where I've referenced Brian, we've been doing one-on-one.
Me prior?
Yeah.
Oh,
almost every time I bring up voice acting, I talk about
fair. Okay.
Coaching.
Uh-huh.
Brian has been my voiceover coach for over a year now.
Yeah.
Almost every week. We were pretty consistent for a really
long
time.
You put in work, pal. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And I attribute all of what I know to Brian.
No.
At least 95% of it. I'm going to give 5% to June and I'm going to give another 10% to Jennifer.
Okay.
So you can have
listen,
85.
I take none of, you're the one doing all the work. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of facilitating a little bit and be like, let's try this and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but you're the one that has to meet me halfway.
That's true.
You know, so you're the one doing the work.
I'm doing the work, but you are an incredible teacher as well. So listen, it takes two. I'm just going to keep complimenting you. There's going to be a meter. Be like, you know, yeah. You know, in like video games where it's like, Brian disliked that. Yeah, it's just going to be.
It's just my health bar going down.
Slowly. Like, taking, like, give me an effort.
Yeah. I give you, I guide you in mm-hmm. some ways.
Yeah.
But just because I say like, that's the direction, you're the one that has to walk it.
That's true.
You know? Mm-hmm. So granted, I also do the same thing for my coaches. I'm just like, oh my God, I wouldn't be without you. And they're like, okay, you're the one doing the work.
Sure.
You know? Like when you go to when you have a personal trainer in the gym, mm-hmm. they're not lifting the weights for you. They're just saying, hey, do this exercise. But yeah. you're the one that has to keep doing it.
But there is something to be said about having the most efficient path to walk laid Fair. Out in front of you.
Fair. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I limit your path.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'll accept that one.
Good. It's yeah. logical.
It is. Exactly.
So
anything
can't
I can
deny
take
it.
Myself out of it yeah. and be like, listen, the lessons are working, but you know, what is that going to do with me?
Right. Right. Well, take me through your acting career, because I,
oh boy.
From the moment that I have ever known you, you've mm-hmm. always wanted to do
yeah,
acting.
For sure.
That's something that I always knew about you. And mm-hmm. I remember somewhere in my home, I have your movie.
Do you really?
Somewhere.
That's
I don't
so
know
funny.
Where. I couldn't point to it. But I know for a fact that I have it, because I have the cover art in my head with the legs.
Yeah, Tethered.
Tethered.
That was my first movie.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wild. I bought it.
You did?
Yeah, I
Thank
did.
Thank you. Did you like it? Did you watch it?
No.
I feel like I have it, but I haven't seen it.
I didn't watch it. But I bought it to support you.
I appreciate
and
that.
And I still have it.
Well, don't watch it now.
Okay.
Because I'm way better.
Okay. I think I did watch it, to be honest with you. I just
it's
don't
good.
Remember.
I'm really proud of it.
What it's about.
A guy on house arrest.
Because it was like
yeah.
a lot of years
ago. It was
ago.
A long time. It was 12 years ago.
Time is a contract that doesn't exist.
Yeah. It scares me.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Anime Expo is this weekend. We are finalizing our cosplays. We are starting cosplays last minute because we're crazy. And we are running an Anime Expo special for just $1. You can get access to all 70 plus bonus episodes for every guest we've ever had. So if you ever thought about joining the Patreon to see any of the bonus episodes for any of our guests, now is the time. And I didn't mess that up at all. And that's very exciting for me, who is really, really bad at this specifically.
You didn't say the URL.
Fuck. Patreon.com/dressdownpod. AX, woo. What were you always wanting to do that growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's the first decision. I was 3 years old.
Three?
Yeah, I was 3 years old.
Were you
old.
Performing for your family and
yeah.
everything?
Yeah. My mom tells a story that I was 3 years old and I walked into the living room and I was just like, I'm going to be in movies. Have no concept of what that means. And I've never been interested in anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I've not run into a lot of people that have this disease. And it's, you know, because you go through phases when you're a kid. You want to be a cowboy. You want to be an astronaut. You want to be
right.
all these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's only ever been acting for me.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
And I feel like it's intrinsically part of who you are.
That I can agree with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen interviews from professional actors. Like, I want to say it was a Emma Stone and mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence
sure.
interview.
Wonderful.
And they were both like, we've talked about this together before, but this is the only thing we've ever wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like it's not as rare, maybe. In
yeah.
people who have made it because it's like, this is what I want
to
do and I'm not doing anything else.
It's one of those things where like, it's a lifestyle. It's an obsession.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
are you okay with getting 99 no's before
yeah.
one yes?
Mm-hmm.
Great if you
mm-hmm.
are. But a lot of people, like, I don't know anyone who would voluntarily sign up to be rejected all the
Constantly.
Time.
Constantly, yeah.
But then lose no steam. But on the other hand, there is something to be said that actors were just gambling addicts. This audition, this is the one. And then it isn't. But the next one is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. But the next one is. So there's something about, like, it's a type of mm-hmm. personality, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mental illness. We just don't know how to diagnose yet. And I haven't.
Yeah. I would say that we both have it to a degree because I feel like we both work similarly where we're both sure. like relentless.
Yes. You have to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like, it depends on where you want to apply that.
Yes.
Mental illness.
Yeah. ADD helps. It's the
ADD
fuel.
ADD does help. Know? That's true. I can't be bothered to think of anything else other than this thing.
I found the thing and just straight into the vein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So what did you do growing up? Did you do theater? Did you go to school for acting? What was that like?
I did not go to school for acting. Too poor. I did children's theater growing up. I did 4 years of drama in high school. And then it was, oh God, how old am I now? It was like my early 20s when, so as most things in my life, they start in a really shady place.
Right.
Because it's for the lore. You understand.
I understand.
And I remember growing up where I did, there was not a lot of opportunity. And so I was like, all right, well, if I can't be an actor, I'll do something in the sort of videography that's kind of I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. it's like there's a camera, so it's the same,
yeah,
you know, whatever you have to do to cope, which is what I was doing.
I'm in the universe,
exactly, yeah. Right, like there's a camera rolling near me,
yep,
that's the same,
yeah.
And my acting career actually started on a Craigslist ad. Yeah,
no way.
Yeah, I had a media company at the time of my way to be like kind of doing the thing but not, because sure. this was an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a section on Craigslist that was like TV video classified ads, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scrolling down this at like 3 a.m. one day, as you do.
Yeah.
And I found a posting that a TV pilot was shooting in my town.
Oh.
And I was like, what is this about?
Uh-huh.
And I got a response from the casting director. He's like, hey, do you have a headshot? And I'm like, no. And it's like, well, do you want to be an extra? And I'm like, yeah. Well, can you send me a picture? Yeah. And I just like went into my front yard and was like, and they're like, that works.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up getting called in, and they turned a sushi restaurant into a strip club in like 4 hours.
Whoa.
And it was magic. I mean, filmmaking is incredible. Mm-hmm. If you're ever on like a movie or TV set, it's magical.
Mm-hmm.
All these different departments coming together to make a thing. It's humanity at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I was paired up with this guy named Bobby, who I adore to this day. And the casting director for that commercial was a guy named Dimitri Blanco. Bobby Alvarez was Dimitri's uncle. This will come in handy in a second.
Okay.
So Bobby and I were extras together. So we spent the whole night in the same scenes and just kind of, oh, what are you doing? Blah, blah. He's like, yeah, my nephew's the casting director. I'm like, oh, it's cool. We're doing this thing. It's an overnight shoot. Flash forward 4 or 5 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby and Dimitri become producers on Tethered. And they're looking for a casting call. And Bobby put my name in the hat to audition for Tethered.
Right.
And I ended up booking it. And then it was just to
like,
the point where uh-huh. I'm crashing at the director of Tethered's house right now when I come down.
No way.
Yeah. 12 years later, still.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that speaks to your character. People like to hang out with you.
Yeah, it's all one thing leads to another, mm-hmm. you know, the butterfly effect.
So, right, exactly. So you were doing on camera. I remember mm-hmm. that.
Yep.
We were almost in something together at one point.
Yes. Wow, I've not thought about that in a while.
I know, it was crazy.
The agency.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I remember because that character that I was playing had a Cockney accent. And I spent 3 weeks trying to figure it out
because uh-huh.
I was still really early on. And I remember bottle of water.
Oh.
Bottle of water.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? That's not words. You know? And I was like so stressed about like doing this table read to be
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was okay. also so stressed at that table read. I was like.
It's words. What?
I remember afterwards someone was like, you have good projection. And I was like.
Do I?
That's the only thing, probably.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. I've not thought about that in a while.
Sweaty palms. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. And then you transitioned to voice acting during COVID.
I did. Yeah, because everything shut down.
Right.
So I'd been doing on camera for 6 years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything shut down. We didn't know when it was going to open up. So I was like, maybe I should learn this voice acting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been training VO for 6 years now.
Right.
So it's just another avenue. And then when mm-hmm. the world opened back up, I'm very, very, very lucky now to where I do pretty much both equally,
mm-hmm.
which is neat because they're completely different industries mm-hmm. and they very rarely cross over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of neat. And I've noticed that a lot of people who get into voice acting typically come from like a theater background.
Mm-hmm.
And on camera is this other thing that they don't really do. A lot of them do now, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know a lot of on-camera actors that also do VO.
Mm.
So it's really interesting to be like, it's still the same, but they're separate industries entirely.
Right.
It's very weird.
There's a lot of overlap in some ways and a lot of differences in other
yes.
ways. And I have heard some people say that they can tell when a on-camera actor is doing a voiceover role.
Yes.
Like it's
I have heard
something strange in
personally.
Your ears. What would you say? Because I think the obvious difference is that with voice acting, you can't use your mm-hmm. facial expressions
yep.
or your body language to mm-hmm. convey an emotion.
Sure.
And you only have the audio. What would mm-hmm. you say, because you do both of them mm-hmm. 50-50, is the hardest to transition?
Oh, VO for sure.
Really?
No joke. I probably trained for 2 years before I felt like I was starting to get it.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so different. Like, it's not, but it is, which is the dumbest answer.
You're right, though.
It's a weird, like...
You're right. I know what you mean.
I've always described it as, like, acting is painting. Like, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Where acting for on camera is painting with acrylics, whereas voice acting is painting with watercolor.
Mm.
It's still a brush paint in the canvas, but the application is entirely different.
Right.
And so there are certain tricks that will work for one medium that won't work for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so with on camera, yeah, you have your face. Like you can convey a lot with the look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just a raising of an eyebrow is like, oh, you know, your body posture. Like there's things that you can kind of do without talking at all with on camera.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a news reporter, like the example I always give is if you're a news reporter in a hurricane on camera, they're just going to pelt you with a rain machine. You're going to be outside holding the microphone and they're just blasting you with water.
Mm-hmm.
But for VO, 9 out of 10 times you're by yourself and you're in a booth,
right.
not playing off anybody. Mm-hmm. And you have to create not just the character and the basics of, you know, who you are, what do you want, who are you talking to, what are the stakes, to stuff like that. But you also have to incorporate the hurricane and the rain into
right.
the performance.
Right.
So it's different, but it also is still acting. Like we talk about this all the time. Connection's all that matters.
Yeah.
And you can tell when someone's just saying words and you can tell when there's a character speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we always say, they're words on a page until we get hold of them.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes those are the words and sometimes they come alive.
Yeah.
You know, so it's,
I'm having war flashbacks right now. Usually my first read of something is always, those are the words.
Those are the words. You said the words.
You
Good job.
Said the words. I was like, all right.
I was like,
now I do it again.
What were you thinking?
And I try a little harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's alchemy. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, they're just words on a page. That's what's magical about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like the craft of it is
right.
learning those sort of things of bringing lifeless words on a page into a fully fledged character.
Right.
It's so cool.
It is really cool.
I love it so much.
It's very cool.
Obsessive.
I tried it one time and was like, whoa, love this.
Yeah.
I ain't stopping.
when it clicks, it's magical.
Yeah.
You know?
It was very fun. Yeah. When I started, it was just me scrolling through free websites being mm-hmm. like, what could I potentially audition for?
Sure.
Could I do this voice? Could I do this voice? Could uh-huh. I do this thing? Could I act this way? And it was just like 2 months of like
yeah, now we're
6 hours of me every day until like 4 a.m. being like,
mm-hmm.
listening back and being like, all right, that one's a wash. We're not doing a Southern accent.
You want to add Southern? We can add Southern.
I want to add transatlantic.
Okay, great.
More than anything, that's
Perfect.
My top priority.
Okay, cool.
I had
we can work on that.
Brent Mukai.
Oh,
sorry?
He's amazing.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
he was
fan.
So he was a guest.
Amazing. I'm in great company.
We did a one-on-one.
Cool.
And for commercial specifically.
Sweet. Very different. That stuff different as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So hard for me. I don't know what it is. Character is so easy. Not easy, but like so much easier than commercial
it's
for me.
It's separate.
Yes.
Character you can click out of yourself.
Exactly.
Whereas commercial is you.
Me. Yeah. And it's so hard for me.
Sure.
And Brent, we did one 60-minute commercial session and mm-hmm. I feel like I got so much better.
Good.
Just from one time of him being like, don't listen to anyone else. Yeah. because he was like, some people learn that way and that's fine.
Right.
I want to give him credit. He wasn't like shitting on anybody. He sure. was like, but the way that I learned, because he was like, I took a bunch of commercial classes mm-hmm. and everybody was saying, you have to talk to your best friend. You have to talk to mm-hmm. this person. It's you telling this person about this thing and it's authentic and you're not mm-hmm. selling. And he was like, it never worked for me because I would never be telling my best friend to buy orange juice. And I was like, you are so right. That's also how my brain works.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just so, like, I can't click into talking to a good friend about sure. this when it's nothing that I would say.
Yeah.
And I feel so strongly about being like authentic to myself mm-hmm. in situations like that where sure. I'm like, I can't, there's yeah. always a bit of a disconnect. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it's okay for you to be a character
yeah.
when you do this.
Sure.
It's okay for you to think, how would I act if I was doing this? Mm-hmm. Even though people tell you that you shouldn't do that. And by the end of it, I was like, wow. I love this.
It's like I tell you all the time. There's a million ways to do something right
mm-hmm.
as well as wrong. There are right. also a lot of ways to do it. There is a wrong.
Right.
The way to do it wrong.
Right, right,
you
right.
know, if you're doing a charity for like cancer research, you don't want to be like, yeah, give money to kids. You're like, that doesn't work. Uh-huh. You know, like you want to know the tone, but mm-hmm. there is so many ways to do it right.
Right.
And if you're trying to guess what casting wants, you will always lose.
Right.
You have to be like, if you hire me to do this job, this is what, here's how I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing what you got as yeah. opposed to, what do you want? Is it this? Because they don't know. Mm-hmm. They have a general frame of reference, but if you train with any casting director, they'll tell you, we didn't know until they walked in the door.
You're yeah.
like, oh, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you hear it, you're like, oh, this is it,
100%. Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, but also, you want to be good at it.
And I
you want to succeed. And
yeah.
it becomes this thing. So it's a lot of just like learning kind of the colors and then you paint in your way.
Yeah.
You do have to learn the color. There is a craft to it, which mm-hmm. we talk about all the time. Like acting is really hard. It just is,
mm-hmm.
especially like when you're doing something as specific as a commercial mm-hmm. or a game or something. If you're doing something for someone else,
mm-hmm.
there is a way to do it,
mm-hmm.
but you have to find a way to do it your way.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, well, if it was just paint by numbers, anyone could do it.
Right.
But it's bringing your kind of thing to
your
it.
Your flair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say, besides the obvious, is the biggest tell in somebody who's doing a voiceover role
mm-hmm.
but is usually a trained on-camera actor? Like, what is the giveaway, would you say?
Well, because I'm guilty of this.
Uh-huh.
So usually for on-camera, like, the frame is this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't move a lot, and you kind of have to, like, the camera registers thought. It doesn't matter what you're thinking. The camera can tell when you're thinking.
Mm.
And then the audience will put together, oh, well, they just saw a car accident. And then they see you just kind of staring off. They're like, oh, he's thinking about the car accident.
Mm.
I could be thinking about what's for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But it registers thought, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was a habit that I had to break a lot because I went for the more kind of grounded, nuanced performance, which
right.
with performance capture technology, there is more of a call for that. You know, where like the technology is so good now that people can give more like cinematic performances in video games and the volumes and stuff.
Right.
But sometimes it just sounds boring.
Right.
You know, it's like if you're fighting, like you need to project.
Yeah.
There's certain things that there's a fine line between nuanced and boring.
Right.
And that took me a while to learn.
Gotcha.
Because all of my training was on camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like how to be still. how to convey emotion with a look, how to use body language, how to do these certain things. So a lot of times in my experience, and I apologize to any casting director that's had to deal with me in the early days, because it was like, okay, now do more. And that was a big thing that I worked on with my coach, Jeremy Hall, who I adore. And I really give him a lot of credit for where I'm at. And so with him, it was like, he'd tell me, he's like, go too far. Because my too far was not too far.
That, I think you've said that to me.
I have. Because I'm like, he was right. And now Danielle's doing it.
Yeah.
How does this feel? You
know?
So there is something that like, yeah, they don't go too far with on camera to VO.
I see.
That's what I've noticed is the pretty common denominator is there's a little too, there's not enough sometimes, just in like the energy of it, you know? I feel like I did not explain that well, but like
no, you
get what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think you did. I think you did.
Okay, as long as you understood, that's cool.
I do. Good. I understand, and I'm going to go ahead and assume that everyone that's listening and watching can also understand. I think you explained yourself very well.
I'm trying my best.
I think you're doing a good job.
I appreciate that.
I think you explain yourself very well most of the time.
I really try hard.
I've always experienced that with you.
Right. Try to be thorough.
Yeah. So with the addition of mocap in VO now with like video games, using that more and more, and, is that something that you've done before or trained
Not
in?
Not yet. Trained in it. I've taken classes and workshops for it before. And I've done like wire work and I've done PCAP and everything. It's really cool.
Is it?
Not had the opportunity to do it yet. It's like theater, but like it's a great like mesh because you're wearing a jumpsuit with little like markers on you and you're playing with PVC stuff and riding barrels for horses. So like there is that level of VO where like this is not a horse.
Right.
You know, but it's like a cool kind of mesh between like VO and on camera is what performance capture is from what I've experienced. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
Because you can be Kratos, but you're just like in pajamas.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can be like a superhero. Like my buddy Hawk played the Hulk in, well, he was the body of the Hulk in the Marvel Avengers game.
Oh, wow.
So it's him just in a suit, like running and jumping and crashing stuff. It's so cool. It's like, he's the Hulk. You know, so it's pretty cool.
It's super cool.
I'm excited to try it out someday.
I'm sure you're going to get your opportunity soon.
Terrified.
I feel like I was talking about this right before we started, but six months ago, you said in January you moved.
Yeah, I did.
Which is crazy because it feels
Florida.
Like a couple weeks ago in my heart.
You and me both. I'm just holding on.
But from my perspective, so we were doing coaching and you were like, I think that it's time for me to move out of Florida and take the leap, get an agent and like do the damn thing.
Sure.
Full time.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Do that. That's amazing. You should do that.
Yeah.
And that's, so you've been 6 months now or you've been
6 months
full time.
Terrified all the time.
Yeah. On the edge, on the cusp.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
But you said something to me in the booth, one of the last times that we were doing coaching, where you were like, if I don't book anything in, 12 months, then...
I don't remember.
It was like, I'm getting an agent, but... they have to reevaluate if I don't book anything in 12 months or something.
Oh, yes,
like
yes. That was the, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the agent out here.
Yeah.
They were like, we're not going to drop you, but like if you don't book for a year. And I was like, that's totally fair. You were taking such a big risk on
me
as an unknown quantity.
But the juxtaposition between, okay, well, if you don't book anything for an entire year, we're going to have to like have a conversation.
Right.
And you booking so much. I feel like you've been booking something every time we talk. You're like, I booked this thing. Or you're posting, I booked this thing, I booked this thing.
Yeah,
so like being worried about not booking anything for a year, what have you, you've gotten so many.
I don't know.
Things in the past 6 months.
I'm trying really hard.
It's been incredible.
I've been very lucky. I've done this professionally now for 12 years.
Yeah.
And since that first job, mm-hmm. doing extra work at, from a Craigslist ad that ended up being like a TV pilot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never gone more than 2 months without an acting job mm-hmm. in all that time. And that's what kind of gave me the like, let's do this. Because, I mean, no offense to anyone else, I will outwork anyone.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Like, I'm not flexing this. This is not a good thing. I don't know how to stop. You
fall
know this.
Over and die yes. before I stop.
Exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so, like, I knew I had the drive and the ambition for it.
Yeah.
But I always had the backstop of a survival job.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't really know what I'm capable of.
Right.
You know?
With all this time.
Exactly. And, like,
energy.
what if I had the fear of rent every 4 weeks on right. top of this, mm-hmm. you know? And
let's just add some stakes.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just put fear. Uh-huh. And so with MIA, that was kind of the big thing that I was like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, we've plateaued in Florida. Like, I can't get higher mm-hmm. here. And so with the move, I was like, I think if we're going to do it, we're going to do it all the way. You know, like, my last name is ironic. There's no balance in me whatsoever. It is all or nothing always. And right. it is a horrible way to live. I don't recommend it. But you get it.
I
you
get
know?
It.
And it's been good so far, mm-hmm. you know, but it's as with this career, it's gigs. You yeah. are hired and fired at the beginning and end of every job. Just because yeah. you worked once doesn't mean you're ever going to work again.
Yeah.
And so knowing that, I find oddly comforting, you know, because I'm like, oh, sweet. Yeah. So we're doing it. It's all or nothing.
It's scary, but you're in charge.
Yes.
Which I think is...
I'm in charge of how I look at it.
The comforting part. Yeah.
You know, like the worst part about being an actor is you got to get permission to do it. You got to get mm-hmm. cast.
Yeah.
But I've always believed in the idea of in the interim training.
Yeah.
I'm always, like, you know this, I'm always training.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, well, if I'm not working this week, well, I'm doing something, whether it's buying and reading a book on acting technique or listening to Crispin Freeman's voice acting mastery or just mm-hmm. something to like keep learning in the interim.
Yeah.
So that I'm better each time.
I just got Yuri's book on Audible.
So
I've been listening to
it. So I adore that guy. So he's another good. One that's really helped my career a lot.
Yeah.
I adore Yuri.
Seems like a really nice person.
He's wonderful.
From the internet.
Yeah. Even better in person.
What I know about him from Instagram.
Him and his wife, Tara, are beautiful people.
Yeah.
I adore them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of amazing people in the industry, which is awesome.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I find that voice acting as a community is very
it's
helpful.
Wonderful. It is, especially coming from on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Very different beast.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, almost every person that I've met in the voice acting community has been so kind.
Yeah.
Like I posted a couple of things and everyone almost that I've ever met from mm-hmm. conventions were like, I'll help, like, let me know. We can get coffee. I'll help, like,
yeah.
do anything. Like, if you have any questions, let me know. And every time I've ever had a question, anyone that has said that to me has mm-hmm. always responded yeah. and helped.
It's amazing.
It's been amazing.
Like, it's... I have a theory about this.
Okay.
So like on camera, for the record, this is just my opinion. I'm not speaking for anyone else. We had to get to one of these eventually.
Sure, sure, sure. Give me the hot take.
There's an argument to be made.
Okay.
Specifically for on camera.
Mm-hmm.
That we actors get too much credit.
Really?
I didn't write it. I didn't shoot it. I didn't light it. I didn't even dress myself. It's just a fact. It is the collaboration of all of these people that came together. I'm uh-huh. not diminishing what we do because
yeah, yeah.
there's no character without us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there can be a slight tilt sometimes for some people for on camera where egos can get involved.
Right.
Because they're on the screen.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes there are people who find that hard to resist the I'm on the screen.
Yeah.
And it can sometimes... I'm like tiptoeing as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
It can sometimes be quite cutthroat
right.
on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I came from that mm-hmm. for 6 years.
Yeah.
And then I got into voice acting and then I got into VO and now I've been doing this. And I'm like, what is this love? You know? And I think there's a few reasons. I think one of them is the average person doesn't know voice actors' names. But if you went to the grocery store and said, do you know Brad Pitt? Every single person is going to say yes.
Yeah.
If you say, do you know Darth Vader? Even if they've never seen Star Wars, they know who it is.
Yeah.
There's a cultural thing with on-camera work, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with VO, granted, I'm not saying there aren't voice actors that can have egos, and it's a thing, it's fine, it's a thing that happens. But I found in my experience, it's way less with VO because they don't get as much recognition. Mm. So it is less likely I have seen to go to their head.
Yeah.
They're also some of the best actors, period.
Yeah.
Because you're doing these gut-wrenching performances by yourself in a booth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm so in awe of like the highest caliber voice actors. I'm like, how did you do that?
Me too.
Because on camera, like you're watching someone die and they're playing off, like there's a lot of outside stimuli that can kind of help you there. VO, you're in a booth with a microphone and you have to be aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you can't like, you know, blow it out and you have to stay on mic. And there's like certain things that you have to stay on axis, but also deliver the most gut-wrenching performance.
Right.
So there's that level of just like, aptitude that voice actors have. But then there's the other side where voice actors are so replaceable. There are people whose entire careers are voice matching celebrities.
Right.
So it's like, also, if you're an asshole, they'll just replace you.
Yeah.
You know, so there's an incentive to be good to work with.
To be kind.
You know, be good at your job and be nice.
Like fun to hang out with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a big difference that I've noticed between on-camera actors and voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
Voice actors are genuinely so kind and very inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And like Yuri, for instance, I could talk about this man forever. So there's a woman named Julia Bianco Scheffling, who's also wonderful. She's a casting director out here for a lot of video games. She's one of the heads of the HALP Network with Chip Beeman, also wonderful. So she wrote a book that I recommend. It's called The Art and Business of Acting for Video Games, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize if I got that wrong. I'm pretty sure that is what it is, though. Anyway, beside the point. So she had a book release party years ago, and Yuri took me as his like plus one and introduced me to all of these other people. And like really just the inclusion alone was like, hey, I was in town and I was like, hey, do you want to get something to eat? And he was like, I got a better idea. Why don't you come with me to this thing? And like, that's just this community. Mm-hmm. And I got to like hang out, like I closed a bar down with Sissy Jones and Chip Beeman and it was wonderful. And like, they didn't know who I was. It didn't matter. And like, these are BAFTA nominated or BAFTA award winning actors that are just like, hey, come have a beer with me. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, where's on camera? Not always the case.
Right.
So it's, oh God, it's incredible. The voice acting community.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Totally. That's my experience as well. Yeah. My limited experience.
It just gets better.
As well.
It's wonderful.
It's been very nice because I think the cosplay community for the most part is similar.
Interesting.
Okay. Where the cosplay community is very helpful and inclusive.
I like that.
Like most of the time, right? There's always going to be.
There's always going to be some outliers, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that it is comforting to me to go from one place that is very kind and welcoming to another place that is very kind and welcoming.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Yeah. Well, there's the convention connection as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that's, you're in like kind of the same environments. I imagine there's probably some transition there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people that I've met through guesting at conventions have been very helpful. Like when I was setting up the booth, I was, the way that you feel about Yuri Lowenthal is the way that I feel about Josh Keaton.
Oh yeah.
I think he's the greatest.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's so awesome. And we have to do these like after parties for GalaxyCon.
Okay.
And we just sat and talked, like the cosplayers and Josh Keaton, for like hours every night talking. And I was talking to him about voiceover and the booth and what. And he's like so into all the engineering of it and stuff. He's like talking about specific frequencies. And I was like, you've lost me completely.
Right.
And he was like, just send me your audio when you get home. So I was like, here's my raw booth audio. And he's like, it sounds great, except for this one thing. It's because of this. You have to unplug this thing from your wall when you, and I was like, whoa. But
that's
like,
great.
You're telling me that Hercules just told me how to set my computer. Like, that's crazy.
Oh, dude. Should I? I'll follow it up. I don't think she'll mind. Judy Alice Lee is a pal of mine. She's Milenoe and Hades 2, and she's in Borderlands. She's killing it right now. Mm-hmm. She did the same thing for me.
Really?
Because I don't know anything about the, like, signal chain and all this. I'm like, can you hear me? Is it working? You know? But they were like, yeah, the noise floor and stuff. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Just doesn't sound good. And
yes,
she, like,
or no.
She started out as an audio engineer. Mm. And then she is an incredible actress. Mm-hmm. And so, but she still has the audio engineering background. So she did the exact same thing for me. Was like, we got on Zoom and I was like, what do I do? And he's like, hit your mic. She goes, okay. And she's like running diagnostics with me.
That's so Judy Alice Lee. Crazy. Yeah. Like, so helpful. Like, what a kind community.
Truly. It is magical.
Yeah.
I love it.
So cool.
It is.
Wow. What a great day to be a voice actor. So tell me about some of the stuff that you've booked in the past 6 months, because I know you...
What can I say?
I don't know. Can you say? Well, whatever you can talk about, or at least... what you've been up to the past like year and a half or so. I know you did MIA with Carrie Elwes.
Yeah.
Right?
Speaking of delightful person.
I did watch your, we skipped.
Did you?
I was like, where is he? We were skipping ahead and then I was like, there he is!
It turned out really well.
Yes, you crushed it.
I was very proud of that one. Mm-hmm. But Carrie, dude, I'll talk Carrie up all day long. He's wonderful. Because I've worked with some other celebrities that will not be named that were horrible. I'll say that. But Carrie, I mean, he's been top of his game since like the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he is so kind and so good at his job. Mm-hmm. And like watching him, I mean, it was a show for Peacock. Mm-hmm. So you're talking like network TV show, like SAG set. So there's hundreds of people all trying to do this thing and it's very time and like, let's get it going. And Carrie's just so nice to like everyone. Mm-hmm. There was someone who was having, I'm just going to say it. I was like, should I tell the story? I'm going to anyway. It's a nice thing, so I will. So there was an actor who was having some trouble with their lines just because it was like technical jargon and it was a lot of like, you know, police codes and stuff and whatever. And like, it was difficult dialogue. And they were doing good, but they were having some trouble with it before we shot. Mm-hmm. And Carrie was like, let's all go to the transport van and we'll just run lines until you get it.
Aww.
It's like, you're Carrie Elwes. You know what I mean? Like,
what
you don't have to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just how he works. Mm-hmm. And like, he's so kind and it's very collaborative. And, you know, I've worked with some other like bigger named actors that stay in their trailer the whole time. And then they come in, do a rehearsal, go back to their trailer, or just come in, do the scene and then dip. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I totally understand. Everyone has their process by all means. Mm-hmm. But just Carrie's wonderful. And you meet people like that, you're like, oh, this is an option.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, you could be cool.
Yeah.
Which makes the other ones look worse because you're like, you could be cool. But I'm always got to shout out the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think it's important.
I think so too. Yeah. Celebrate people who bring joy to everyone around them.
Yeah. And like,
make it a good
unsaid.
Environment and
I'm very big about that.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have something nice, just say it.
Right.
You got nothing to lose by it, and it genuinely does make a difference.
Yeah.
As Pinteresty and cliche as it sounds, I can't take them, but I can give a compliment like nobody's business, and I recommend it to anyone.
Right.
You know, you tell someone they have a cool jacket, like a random stranger, they will walk away from you differently.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, we all have that power. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's true. And you forget. It's easy to forget.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, you've deflected us talking about your roles. So
oh, right. Yeah, I
let's
did.
Let's talk about...
Yes, okay.
You MIA,
MIA
came
out. Yep.
What
that was
happened
exciting.
After? You were in a commercial.
I have been in
a few commercials.
A few. God, my memory's so bad, too. So,
I know.
It's like, and also, things take forever to come out.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I shot MIA... last year in May and then it came out a year later. I've worked on movies 2 years ago that are still coming out like later this year. Yeah, things take forever,
right? That is I've
been
aware of that,
right? And you're like, I gotta sit on this for a while. And like, movies take forever.
You did a commercial with some housewives.
Or, I did.
I think, right?
Yes, I did. That was for the F1 movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to work with two of the Real Housewives of Miami.
Yeah. And then you did another commercial recently.
I did.
That just came out.
I don't know how to pronounce it, which I should probably learn. I think it's Fit Ice. It's definitely not Fit Ice or Fit Ice or whatever. It's like a protein popsicle, which sounds strange.
Yeah.
But it does not taste bad, for the record. That's my endorsement of it. Fit Ice does not taste bad. It's pretty good.
two thumbs way up.
Yeah. So yeah, I did that recently. I actually have another one that I think I have to post either today or tomorrow. For when does this come out?
Friday.
Perfect. American Battlefield Trust. That was really cool. I did
that.
Is
that a game? What is that?
It's actually a really cool cause. Oh. It's like a trust, I assume. I don't really know anything.
Uh-huh.
And it is a organization that is dedicated to preserving like historical land. And so it's like if there were any like historical battles that took place in America, mm-hmm. they try to preserve the land to keep it from being developed.
Oh.
I was like, shit, yeah, I'm about
that's
that.
Cool.
And so mm-hmm. I did a commercial for them, which was nice. That's a thing that happened. And then there's the big thing that just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genshin Impact.
Yeah. I'm still coming to terms with that one. It's been 48 hours. And I'm like, okay, I'm in this thing now.
Hell yeah, you are. I was freaking out because I saw it on your Instagram and then I saw your text and I was like, this fucking rocks.
It's pretty cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
So your character is Mitya. Am I saying that right?
Mitya? Mitya. I think like, from what I understand, they're kind of Russian-based, the people of Snezhnaya, which is the land in like the new expansion.
I see.
So they're all kind of Russian pronunciations. It's Mitya.
Mitya.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do we know about him
I
so far?
I don't know what I can say.
Okay.
I'll say this.
Well, the trailer dropped.
The trailer dropped. I'm in the trailer.
Yeah.
He's really cool looking.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited to play him. I'm so excited to be a part of this. Because, you know, the worst movie I've ever seen, I'm in. You know, like, that's part of the journey of this thing,
right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So it's a new experience for me to be a part of something that people are so excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm learning more about the lore and kind of the world. And I did not know as much going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so from what I understand,
mm-hmm.
I just got very lucky to join in on a train that's already going very fast.
Right.
And so the game's been out since 2020 and it's been expanding ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the last area to be unlocked. So there are people that have been waiting 6 years for this area.
Oh.
I did not know that.
Okay.
So the hype is very real.
Yeah.
I did say a line in the trailer, which was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I cannot elaborate on the line. I did mention the Kresnik's torch.
What was the line?
It was, so he's like reading a book
mm-hmm.
and he just goes, wait, the Kresnik's torch? And that's the line. I cannot elaborate on what that means.
Okay.
But there is the Kresnik's torch.
Okay.
And Mitya is worried about it.
You know what?
You know?
I'm
worried about it too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because who knows?
I can feel the worry.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
It seems.
Yeah.
You know, we'll find out.
I mean, sounds like I have to start playing Genshin Impact.
You know, he's so cool looking. And mm-hmm. like his design is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I'm still like in shock that it's real.
Yeah.
And it's not in my bones yet to be like, oh, I'm playing this character. Like that's me.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm processing it
mm-hmm.
still. Cause this happened 48 hours ago.
Yeah.
And my phone's been blowing up and I'm like, oh, okay. You guys are excited about something I'm in. All right, cool.
Woo!
God, I hope you like him as much as I do.
I'm sure that
he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the fans, my God, they are observant. There were things, mind you, I'm in it for like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If even, mm-hmm. it might even be less than 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
But people have done like fan art of him and like they picked up on things that I did not pick up on when I recorded it.
Whoa.
Because some of it is like dubbing. And so like I got to see him when I was recording him, which is cool. But yeah, they noticed... Man, I'm doing like the NDA shuffle right now in my head.
Yeah. Don't get in trouble.
If you see the frame, he's reading a book and then he has this realization and it looks like a hand that is not his own is holding the book.
Mm.
And I did not see that the first time because I'm focused on like what I'm doing. And there has been fan art sent to me of like these extra hands, and it's cool. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I wonder if that's a thing. We'll find out.
Right.
But they're so observant.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And they're so excited about it. Uh-huh. And I just hope they like him as much as I do because I like him a lot.
Well, here's my question then. Yeah. As someone who started cosplaying.
Yeah, I did.
How does it feel knowing that there is a potential for people, and I think they already have, but they definitely will be cosplaying something, a character that you are voicing. How does that feel?
I have to try not to cry. because there's so much work that you do as an actor that like nobody watches, you know? And it's like a whole thing where like you put your heart into it and you're like, I hope this is good.
Yeah.
But like also, you make a movie 3 times, when you write it, when you shoot it, when you edit it, and you can ruin it at any point.
Right.
You know, so just because like you had a great time and you felt really good about it, it might've been edited in a way to where it's like, oh, this is not good, you know? So to be a part of something that people would latch onto like that is overwhelming in like the best way possible. Cause like, yeah, I know what it's like. You know, like when I meet James C one day, it was the Cabbage Merchant. I'm like, dude, you legitimately changed my life.
Yeah.
Like truly, you know, like that is not hyperbole.
Yeah.
Without the Cabbage Merchant, none of this would be a thing. My podcast wouldn't be a thing. My acting career wouldn't have started. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
from a Cabbage Merchant, from a running bit in a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yep.
Changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a part of something where there have been people that have cosplayed him already from 10 seconds. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know what to do with this. You know, it's just genuine, pure gratitude because I don't know what else to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those things. And then in the back, I'm like, I just really hope you like him because you're very excited about him and you haven't really met him yet.
Yeah.
You know, like I said 4 words, I said a sentence and it's very exciting. Like the context of everything is like, oh, we're getting Snezhnaya. You know, it's like, oh, and he's attached to this. Mm-hmm. This is one of the new Snezhnayan characters.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. I'm a Star Wars fan. I understand the hype of like, we're going to Nal Hutta now.
Yeah.
You know? So like, I understand that idea of being a fan of something. But to be on this side of it, it's very strange.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. I'm terrified. And I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everything.
All of it.
Yeah. And it's new.
All swirling
this just
around.
Happened. You know, I'm also like still coming to terms with it. That like, oh, you guys like him. Like, how did you make fan art in 3 hours? The trailer just dropped and you're making like incredible art pieces.
Yeah.
Like, how do I frame all of these?
Genshin is...
It's wild.
Yeah.
Beloved.
The beloved. The fan base is, for lack of a better word, feral.
Yeah.
In a good way.
As a Star Wars fan, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get that's my, like, frame of reference for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope they like him. That's what it always comes back to is, like, I'm so grateful. I really hope you like him because there's a lot more coming.
I have no doubt, to be honest with you. I can tell. I just feel it.
Yeah.
He's on vibes alone.
He's really cool.
Yeah.
And his design is, oh, dude. As a cosplayer, like, when you see his design, it's the artist did incredible. Like, it is art in and of itself.
Yeah.
And the way that he looks and like his uniform and stuff, like, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
So excited.
Yeah. There's more coming. I mean, 7.0 drops in August from what I've heard. So, you know, it's coming soon.
It's coming soon.
July's next week. So.
It's coming soon.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. There's some cool stuff in the works.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see more of what happens when everything starts to come out.
Yeah.
And same. I'm also excited to see where that takes you. I feel like you
are. Yeah, who knows? I don't think that far ahead.
Right.
You know?
You can't.
You can't. It's one way to disappointment. You know, it's going to be this thing. And it's like, and then it isn't. And you're like, oh, well, whose fault is it that I got my hopes up? Me.
Right.
So I'm better at just being out of my depth and surprised all the time. To be like, oh, you know, I recorded that line and then I'm like, I'm in a trailer. That's cool. We'll see what happens. And then it dropped. I'm like, I'm in a trailer.
Yeah.
You
know? Like,
I don't let it sink in until like I see it.
Well, the thing that was so interesting to me that we were talking about before we started recording was that you actually didn't know that it was Genshin Impact until you went in to record your line.
No idea.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's all codename stuff.
Right.
You know, and like most, I would say most of the video games that I audition for are codenamed.
Right.
Yeah. And you have to like do some detective work and be like, what is this for?
Uh-huh.
You know?
So you did an audition for unnamed guy.
Yep.
An unnamed project.
Yes.
And you found out that you booked it.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the recording studio, wherever that is.
Yeah.
And what happened? You were like, okay, guys, I'm here for unnamed project for unnamed
well,
guy.
Well, you know, you got to fake it till you make it. So I was like, hey, I'm here for my session at this time. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, by the way, what is this for? And like, I made sure to ask that question to the engineer, who is wonderful, and not the director.
Should you have known, though? How would you have known?
I don't know. I don't I don't ask questions. You know, I yes and. And I get in trouble a lot for it because I'll run a bit and be like, oh, this is serious. Oops. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I swear I'm a professional.
Right.
But that's where improv comes in handy. You know, you got to be on your feet.
Yeah.
They throw stuff and you don't know.
Yeah.
So, but then I remembered my audition and I was like, oh, okay. Cause I made very specific choices for that one. Like I really went for that one. It made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard it, I was like, oh, that's what I did. Okay. Like immediately clicked in
because
it was so specific what I did that I remembered what I did.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Speaking of remembering what you do for auditions.
Oh, no.
No, I I think that that's an interesting topic that I would love to speak on because I have, I think that me and you have talked about this extensively, but I think it's just interesting to know about in general.
Mm-hmm.
When you're auditioning for something, I talked to a friend of mine once who is very successful in the voice acting industry.
Cool.
And he was saying like for a long time, he almost got in trouble because he like lost the spark for a minute and was just kind of phoning it in for the auditions and just like getting them done.
Yeah, I can't be doing that.
And his agent had to be like, hey, yo,
do you want to still
going
do this?
On?
Yeah, sure.
So like, what would you say is your down and dirty process when you are
Ooh.
Auditioning for something?
Yeah.
What are the steps that you take when you are preparing? Because I also heard that you are supposed to, quote unquote, not spend a super long time on auditions because you have so many to do that
sometimes
it would be impossible.
Yeah.
Right? If you spend hours on every one of them.
Yeah. And also, so it depends what I'm auditioning for.
Mm-hmm.
Like for on camera, I have a different process than for VO.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would say I spend more time prepping for an on-camera audition, but I never do more than three takes ever. And I usually will do one take and I'm done because I've learned that the more takes I do, I get diminishing returns, you know?
Right.
So like by take three, I'm like, why does my mouth move that way when I talk, you know? And you're just like, then you're out of it and you're your own worst enemy. So I spend a lot of time, I say a lot of time, like, sometimes it's a few hours, sometimes it's 30 minutes. Like everything's so different. Sometimes the audition just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just clicks. You're like, oh, I know exactly who this is.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you got to kind of find it.
Mm-hmm.
So for on camera, my process is figure out what, like break the scene down, do the character analysis. Like I understand this frontwards and backwards. I may decide on, okay, I think this is what I how I would play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I build it out in my head and then I just do it and I send it off.
Mm-hmm.
For VO, for commercials, it's just you. I'm like, okay, like, you know, there's little things you got to know, like follow the thought through to the end. Don't lose the brand in the middle of it. You know, like show up for McDonald's for breakfast. You're like, no, they kind of want you to say McDonald's, you know?
For what?
Yeah. So like there's things that there's touchstones you have to hit along the way, but it's commercials are more like, how would I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just knowing yourself. You know,
right.
And there are tricks, like you kind of mentioned earlier, where changing who you're talking to is a trick. works for some people, doesn't work for others, mm-hmm. you know, but just understanding, not as specific if that doesn't work for you, but understanding who you're talking to and what you're talking about is mm-hmm. pretty important. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing charity and you want to be, you know, you don't want to be like, send money to this charity for kids. You know, you want to be like, hey, we can use your help. You know, like if something requires gravity, you want to make sure you're giving it.
Right.
Whereas if it's the Toyota-thon, you know, you need to be pumped about trucks, you know? Uh-huh. So there's more, I would say there's way less thought for me with commercials because mm-hmm. there's like the touchstones that you have to do and like that you can kind of hit along the way, but it's less character-y as it is. Mm-hmm. Where for different auditions, I don't spend too much time on it because then you will inevitably get to the point where you're like, well, what are they looking for? Mm. The more you get into the mix of it, but that's where the training comes in.
Right.
You know, because there's like the acting fundamentals that you will mm. always rely on. Mm-hmm. And so you got, you know, who am I? What do I want? Who am I talking to? What are the circumstances? How far away are they? What's the context? So like you do all of that for everything.
Yeah.
But it gets easier. Mm-hmm. The more you do it. Mm-hmm. So like...
it's like a muscle.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, truly. Yeah, yeah. And so like with video games, with animation, you can turn it up a little bit because it's a cartoon and you have a little more freedom with it. Video mm-hmm. games, like you don't want to be doing a Diablo game talking about like death and be like, man, that guy died, you know? But you don't want to be in like Cartoon Network and be like, yeah, I haven't seen my dad in years.
Right.
You know, so like know the tone of the project that you're working on.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But like connection, that's all that matters. That's yeah. what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. So it's just finding a connection.
Yeah.
Is what I do. The longest answer ever to say, I look for a connection. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, how do I relate to this character? What part of me, what notes inside of myself can I play that resonate with this character?
Right.
And then I find a way to play that note. And so like with Mitya, I knew him right away. Like it took no thought at all. Mm-hmm. And there were other characters that I've auditioned for. I was like, I don't know. Like this line just isn't working for me. Mm. Like I can't, my brain is having a hard time coming up with a scene to put this line in.
Right.
You know, and it's like, there's just some level of disconnect and those take longer because I have to find a way in because I'm not going to do the audition.
Yeah.
So longest way ever to say it's different for every audition,
right.
But the basic process is it's still fundamentals. It's still connection.
Yeah.
Cause you can tell when someone's just saying words.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about this all the time. It's like, yeah, you said the words.
Yeah.
Like those are the words.
Right.
Now let's find a way in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cause that's the job. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I try to find a connection and mm-hmm. I never do more than 3 takes of anything. So I know what I'm doing before I press record. Or I at least have a general idea of what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then like, send it off, forget about it.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that.
Easy.
Yeah.
So simple.
It only took 12 years
right.
To learn this.
No big deal. Anybody can pick it up whenever they want
to. Yeah.
Well, listen, before we transition to our Patreon portion of the episode, what do you have coming up that you would like to plug, if anything, that you can speak on?
I'm so bad at plugging, Danielle.
I know.
Genshin Impact. Very excited about that.
Coming out soon.
Yep. Mitya has been announced. The sniper red dot has been relieved of my chest.
Uh-huh.
So Genshin Impact is coming. Mitya, I'm very, very, very excited for everyone to meet him. I mm-hmm. hope you like him as much as I do. I host a show called The Interesting Podcast that I've done for 10 years. There are 220 plus episodes of that you can listen to. You were one of the earliest guests I ever had on. You were like in the first 10.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We should update that.
We should
do an updated one.
Yeah. It's almost like we might've tried this before.
Yeah.
And then schedules. Yeah. We might have to figure it out.
Yeah. It was my fault. I'd like to throw that out there.
You had to
I wrote it
on
wrong
your own.
On my calendar.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
fuck.
So we'll cross-pollinate and then I'll give you this treatment.
Great.
Yeah, so those are kind of the big things that I can talk about.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find you online?
I am Jedi Brian everywhere mm-hmm. on all socials or brianbalance.com for the website that has some of my work and stuff. Mm-hmm. MIA on Peacock and Genshin Impact. It's weird to say it out loud, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you deserve it.
I worked hard for it. I'll say that.
Yes.
I can acknowledge the journey.
Exactly.
Yes. I'm getting better. I'm trying so hard to get better at this.
And
it's like pulling my own teeth.
It's only going to get harder and harder from here.
I'll figure it out.
Well, listen, I want to know because I think coaching has been so fruitful for me. I know that we've talked about how coaching someone else can make you feel more grounded in your knowledge.
Oh, for sure.
What would you say, have you ever had any bad experiences with coaching? And what was your greatest experience with coaching?
Greatest experience coaching is with you, for sure.
Oh.